Welcome back, everybody. This is Rick Pettigrew to introduce our top news stories from this past week of Archaeologica. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. High-tech analysis of residues on an ancient Egyptian mug reveal a complex mixture of exotic and even distasteful substances. A circular structure uncovered at the Mexican Maya site of El Tigre is a valuable clue to the Maya identity of the site. A shipwreck with a huge cargo of ceramics illustrates the prosperity of China's maritime Silk Road in the 14th century. And a mass burial in a Spanish rock shelter is evidence that serious warfare surprisingly existed in the late Neolithic. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We now have hundreds of titles you can binge upon on Roku. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue in 2024 with our fifth tour of incredible sites in Iran. Please join us. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. And now, here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for October 29th through November 4th, 2023. We begin this week in the state of Florida, where a new study has revealed that an ancient Egyptian mug in the collection of the Tampa Museum of Art was used to hold psychotropic drugs as well as human blood and other bodily fluids. As reported by ArtNet News in a story based on a study published by Research Square, the mug, acquired by the museum in 1984, dates to the Ptolemaic Roman period, stretching from the 3rd century BC to the 3rd century AD. The mug is in the shape of the ancient Egyptian god Bes, part dwarf and part cat. The study's authors say the deity was one of the most fascinating and wildly popular in ancient Egyptian religion, with a following that stretched from the 16th century BC to around AD 400. By the time this vessel was created, Bes had transformed from this early image as a demon god to a guardian being who provided protection from danger and averted harm. Although scholars have long speculated that vessels in the shape of Bes may have been used to hold perfume, holy water, wine, or beer, residue from their contents has rarely been studied. As reported in Research Square, the authors of this study analyzed the proteins and metabolites in residue found in the Tampa mug using genetic techniques and infrared microspectroscopy. Their analysis not only revealed residues of psychotropic substances, including Syrian rue and blue water lily, but also evidence of human blood, bodily fluids such as oral or vaginal mucus, and traces of breast milk. It also showed indications of licorice, fruit yeast water, mostly from grapes, royal jelly, and sesame seeds. The unique concoctions were probably used in cult rituals. The study's authors say that no other Mediterranean religion was as complex as the cult of Bes. For 3.5 millennia, its followers were guided by sacred texts that prescribed a mix of religious, medical, magical, and herbalist practices. Our next story takes us to Mexico, where a circular structure recently discovered in the jungle may be linked to the cult of a Maya serpent deity. As reported by Newsweek, archaeologists with the Mexican National Institute of Anthropology and History, or INAH, uncovered the ancient structure at the archaeological site of El Tigre, Campeche State, on the Yucatan Peninsula. The structure comprises two levels. Archaeologists say it likely supported a flat-roofed temple dedicated to Kukulkan, a serpent deity equivalent to the wind god Quetzalcoatl in Aztec mythology. The structure dates to between AD 1000 and 1200. It corresponds to a time when the ancient Maya settlement maintained strong ties with other regions of Mesoamerica, such as central Mexico, Oaxaca, and the Gulf Coast. According to Diego Prieto, General Director of INAH, the date of the structure is important because it broadens our knowledge of the late occupation of El Tigre and this Maya zone's links with other regions of Mesoamerica. The El Tigre site has a long history of occupation, dating back more than 2,000 years. It corresponds to a settlement called Itzamkanak, which is detailed in an important historical document of the region called the Pax Balon Maldonado Papers. Itzamkanak had temples dedicated to the four main deities of the post-classic period Maya, one of whom was Kukulkan. The discovery of a circular structure that potentially represents the remains of a temple dedicated to Kukulkan suggests that El Tigre is indeed the city of Itzamkanak, described in historical sources. The structure was uncovered along with thousands of other ancient Maya artifacts and structures during work on the Maya Train Project, one of the largest and most controversial projects in Mexico's history. Scheduled to open next month, this 1,000-mile-long railway will traverse Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula, the heart of the ancient Maya civilization. While the Maya Train Project aims to bring tourists from the region's popular beach resorts to lesser-known and poorer inland locations, critics worry about damage to or destruction of historic Maya sites. They also have raised environmental concerns. Next, we travel to China, where a recovered merchant vessel that sank more than 700 years ago recently came to light. Retrieved in an archaeological salvage project, the ship contained thousands of Longchuan celadon porcelains. The news outlet Xinhua reported that the ship dates from the Yuan dynasty between AD 1271 and 1368. It was found at the intersection of the eastern and southern routes of the ancient maritime Silk Road near the Shenbeyu Islet in the city of Zhangzhou, known as a shipwreck-prone area due to its reefs and complex sea conditions. The archaeological salvage project was a joint project of the National Center of Archaeology, the Zhangzhou Municipal Bureau of Culture and Tourism, and the Fujian Provincial Research Institute of Archaeology. The vessel's unveiling and the trove of over 20,000 items retrieved shed light on the historical prosperity of the maritime Silk Road during the Yuan Dynasty. Longchuan celadon porcelains are renowned in China for their striking colors, especially shades of jade green and light blue. Chen Has, deputy head of the Underwater Archaeology Center of the Fujian Provincial Research Institute of Archaeology, said the sunken ship contains the largest number of Longchuan porcelains found on a ship to date. Among the retrieved pieces are bowls, plates, cups, and incense burners. Some are engraved with characters such as Yang, Bao, Nian, meaning use, treasure, and year, respectively. Some of the plates were surprising in their size, reaching a diameter of 35 centimeters and a height of 4.3 centimeters. Plates this large were rarely seen in China. Yu Miao, an associate professor at Xiamen University, said the plates were designed as porcelain exports to suit overseas dining customs. Researchers noticed a high similarity between the plates on the sunken ship, porcelains found at an ancient port in the city of Wenzhou in Zhejiang Province, and other porcelains excavated in Southeast Asia. Consequently, experts assume the vessel was a civil merchant ship setting off from Wenzhou to Southeast Asia. For the first time, the salvage project team was able to use underwater photographic stitching to get a panoramic, high-definition, three-dimensional image of the wreck site in low-visibility underwater conditions. The salvage project is a milestone in China's underwater archaeological history. The discovery has provided a glimpse of the booming trade in Longchuan celadon porcelains, as well as the prosperity of the maritime Silk Road. Finally, skeletal remains from a mass burial site in Spain have revealed that large-scale warfare in Europe may have occurred much earlier than previously thought. As reported by Newsweek, researchers reanalyzed human bones originally excavated from the San Juan Antiportum Latinum rock shelter in northern Spain. The remains date back around 5,000 years to the late Neolithic period. The new analysis revealed that many whose skeletons were excavated from the site may have been casualties of Europe's earliest period of warfare. Excavators found 52 flint arrowheads, 64 blades, two polished stone axes, and other artifacts, along with the haphazardly buried bodies. The re-examination of the remains focused on identifying new evidence of violence to the bones. Researchers found that the damage was varied and reoccurring. Some individuals showed both healed and unhealed injuries that suggested repeated exposure to violence. Others displayed evidence of arrowhead injuries and cranial traumas, indicating they were involved in varied types of combat. Signs of malnourishment, anemia, and other conditions observed in the remains suggest these people experienced social unrest and grueling lives. Study co-author Teresa Fernandez Crespo notes that prior to this discovery, the earliest known large-scale conflict was the Bronze Age Battle of Tollens in Germany, a single event that may have involved up to 4,000 individuals. The Bronze Age lasted from about 4,000 to 2,800 years ago in Europe. Thus, the 5,000-year-old remains reanalyzed for this study can be firmly dated to the Neolithic period, which lasted from 7,000 to around 5,000 years ago. Previous research had suggested that conflicts during this period consisted of short raids lasting no more than a few days and involving small groups of up to 30 individuals. Researchers thus assumed Neolithic societies lacked the logistical abilities to support larger-scale conflicts. The results of this latest study have challenged that view. According to Fernandez Crespo, in the context of the study, large-scale warfare means a conflict that involved many individuals, was organized, sustained, or persisted in time, at least for months, and had wider impacts on communities in the region where it occurred. The cause of the warfare is unclear, but the authors propose that it could have been a regional intergroup conflict, perhaps driven by resource competition and social complexity. They concluded that warfare in the Neolithic was much more sophisticated, organized, and able to impact the general population than previously thought. This suggests the existence of a greater social-economic hierarchy than previously assumed. The results of the study were published in the journal Scientific Reports. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, check out our subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.